switching gears back to Battlestar Galactica, you actually have a concert coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What's involved with that?
This concert we're putting on April 13th. It's a Sunday, and it'll be at the Roxy Theater in L.A. It is a continuation of a concert that we did in 2006, which was really sort of a practice run compared to what we're going to have together for this show. We're going to have the complete rock band, plus taiko drums, plus strings, plus all the ethnic soloists and vocalists. And we're going to be performing the music of Galactica live. And the thing that makes this really exciting is that this isn't like going to see the Hollywood Bowl play soundtrack music. You are going to get to see the actual musicians who play on the show play live, which is a very rare experience. We're also going to show an original documentary that we've produced about the making of the score. James Callis, who plays Dr. Baltar, is going to be hosting the evening, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically going to be a chance for the fans and the people that work on the show and the musicians who spend so much time, you know, behind the scenes to get together and celebrate the show.
Well, what do you have to do to prepare for a concert like that?
Well, it's actually a massive amount of work, and it's what I'm doing this week. I need to rearrange all the music for a live ensemble. When the scores that we write out for the show, I'm always thinking of how we can produce things in the studio, meaning that we can overdub parts.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously can't do that in a live recording or in a live performance. So I need to rethink our approach because we can't record the percussionist 500 times. We can only have him play something once. So in a way, the arrangements get a lot more lean and efficient, and I'm, you know, making use of every single musician I possibly can to get a big sound. However, based on our experience in 2006, the last time we did this, the sound is just massive. Seeing music live is so different than having to record it, where it takes a lot of tracks to really get a big, beefy sound. I mean, it just sounds huge, even though there's not 15 taikos, which is what I'd love to have. You only have two, but it's still an incredibly big sound. I often compare it to when you see a really good rock band mm-hmm. play live, and they sound as good as the record. I mean, to me, the ultimate example is Queen. On their records, they would overdub countless times, and, you know, there'd be, you know, 15, 20, 40 guitar tracks, and when you see them live, there's only four guys on stage. But at least, you know, I never got to see them, but the recordings, the live recordings that exist, you don't miss anything, you know. There's something about it being live just adds such an incredible energy to it. And that's the way I approach these concerts, is I just want the sound to be big and exciting and thrilling for everybody that's there.
Mm-hmm. It is similar to the Boingo concerts.
Extremely similar, and in fact, there are many of the same people playing. But, you know, the Boingo concerts were a similar situation where you've got a core rock band, and you also have other elements. You've got keyboards and vocals and strings that I added. And I've, especially with my experience at the Boingo concerts, I've gotten really good at balancing out these elements and really making them work together. A string quartet can have trouble coming out over a rock band, but, you know, we figured out the best way to make it work. And also in the arrangements, I figured out what the best way to write for them in that situation is. And that's something that totally applies to Battlestar Galactica.
Now, I'd also heard that you'd be taking it to Germany at one point.
We're still laying the groundwork on all that, so it's too early to say anything in particular, but I would love to be able to take this to the East Coast, to take it around the world, and that's something that I plan on pursuing even after the show ends. I mean, I think that this is the kind of concert that there'll be the fans out there that'll come out and see it. But as you know, as far as any concert in the foreseeable future, the LA show this April is the only one on the books, and most certainly the only one that'll be in 2008.
Mm-hmm. So now, what's your rehearsal time like?
You know, it's going to take a couple of weeks for sure. But most of these musicians, because they played it before when we actually recorded it,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty familiar. They're pretty familiar with this stuff already, so it comes together surprisingly quick.
Is there anything that you can't play live?
There are many pieces we can't play live, actually. most of the ones that feature a full orchestra, such as Storming New Caprica or Prelude to War, at this level won't translate with the number of strings that I'm going to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that we really need a full orchestra for. So the live concerts, even though we will be playing we will be presenting some recordings of some of those pieces. The pieces that we're actually going to be playing live are the ones that tend to focus on the smaller ensembles and the sort of rock-pop ensemble. So obviously something like All Along the Watchtower, a track called Precipice from Season 3, and mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff in Season 2 falls into this category as well. And I, you know, honestly, I haven't picked all the tracks that we're going to be doing yet, and there are going to be ways to do some of the more string-oriented pieces this time around. But there certainly are some pieces that are just so epic in scale that without having a 60-piece string orchestra in front of you, we just wouldn't be able to do the recording justice.
Okay. Well, what has been the most unusual fan interaction, whether it's been on your blog or in person?
That's a tough one. I have really enjoyed interacting with the fans over the past few years, and it'd be very hard to pick a favorite. Probably the most unusual. A Marine wrote me from Iraq and said that his friend was killed in action, and a piece that I wrote called Two Funerals, which was a piece written for a funeral.
Right.
And not only is that level of irony there, but it is also a piece that incorporates a lot of Middle Eastern instruments and Middle Eastern scales. And I remembered thinking how weird it was that there was this piece that I wrote for a fictional funeral that is being used in a real one. I was extremely honored that happened, but at the same time, I thought there is something very safe about writing music for fiction. It's fiction, and even though it's very dark, it's not real life. And at the end of the day, I can go back to my normal life, and I know that I'm not living in this really dark world of Battlestar Galactica. And so the idea that when I'm writing a piece for a funeral on screen, the idea that it could be used in a real person's funeral who was killed in action is just daunting. I mean, it really opened my eyes as to what this music means to people. You know, I'll never forget that.
Have you started work on the second half of BSG?
I am just finishing up work on the first half.
Ah.
But there's not going to be a break. We're going to just keep going right in. So I'll be working on the second half probably in about 6 weeks and go straight through. We're just going straight through to the end. So it's amazing to think, but my involvement with Battlestar Galactica, at least in this capacity, on this, you know, this show, is going to be ending probably in September or October. That's pretty incredible to think about.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a bittersweet ending for you, isn't it?
It is very much so. I'm personally grateful that the show is not going to become one of these 10 or 15-year juggernauts, just because I work so hard on the show, I can't imagine that I'd be able to keep that kind of momentum up for that long. But I also know that I don't know if the writers and actors could do it too. I mean, I think there's just something. 5 seasons would have been great. I would have loved to have been able to do 5. But 4 seasons, I think we're going to go out really strong, and the show is never going to be burdened with a season that's not very good. Or, you know, it's not going to be one of these shows that loses steam right before the end. It's going to end on such an incredibly strong note. I really think that it's going to be in the public conscience for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that give you license to sort of pull out all the stops?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going hog wild the last few episodes, even the beginning part of season 4, in terms of the number of minutes of music I'm writing and the number of instruments that I'm bringing in. It's pretty relentless. I still don't know if I'm going to be able to top the season 3 album in terms of really cool tracks, but we're definitely pulling out all the stops on every episode, and I don't know yet what the last, you know, 4 or 5 hold, but I am assuming that those are going to be an extravaganza.
Okay. Well, again, I appreciate the time you've given me today.
Sure. And thanks. This is fun, and I look forward to doing more.